Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, we are going again through the Bible series. And before I read the text here, glad to be here. I've only been away a couple of weeks, and my wife says hi, and Titus says hi from Brazil. They'll be back on Thursday this coming week. And, you guys have been asking me, oh, how are you doing with, three kids and by yourself? And it's been okay so far. No disasters has happened. And so hopefully no more happen until my wife comes back. And I have a lot more to say about the whole, temporary single parenting. And it's not fun. It's not fun, I tell you that. But anyway, just realized how much my wife actually does. I think I always knew that, other wiser couples have told me things like that. But actually, and I've done a couple days when my wife was in the hospital with our fourth child. And extended these a few days. It's been interesting. All right, if you have Bibles with you, turn with me to Titus chapter 2, and if you could all rise for the reading of God's word, if you are able, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. But actually, I'll be expositing verse 11, 12, and 13 more closely. And after I read it, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you could repeat all by saying, thanks be to God, and you could have your seat. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is God's word to us this morning. Give your full attention to it. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amy, I have your seat. All right. Let me just pray one more time and ask for God's help just for this. Beseech him now. Father, your children have read your word. Your word is truth. So that I know I could talk. But we need more than just a mere speech of man. Lord, I pray that you will speak through your word with power. Cut us to the heart. Change us. As we have entered here in this place, as we leave, O Lord, do real change that only you are able to do through your truth. You will correct us, rebuke us, that we will learn a new truth or make it the truth, old truth, more clearer. I pray, convict us now. Help us to see your truth clearly. I pray. Help us now. Be our teacher. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit and through Christ. Amen. Some people plan for the future. They are the wise ones. like the ant preparing for winter. They know that it's just a matter of time until trials and hardships come. And they do what they can do now so that they will be ready. It means that they won't be able to play much now, but survival is more important to them than pleasure. Others don't plan for the future at all. They want their good times now. Then, as the people in Noah's day found out, there is no time or opportunity to go back and fix what is broken when the disaster strikes. Look what he says. Not going to be on the transparent, but look what he says about Noah, Matthew 24. As it was in the days of Noah, it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. That kind of sounds like our day right now, right? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage. Up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away, took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Hard times come because God sends them. Let me say that one more time. Hard times come because God sends them. I know that people bring it upon themselves. We build a house of cards out of our lives, so to speak, then wonder why it all collapses around us at the worst of times. But the scripture says over and over and over again that God uses catastrophes for his own ends, to judge the wicked and to discipline his people. Only the pagans deny this truth in the Bible, because they live in a constant terror at the thought that such a God could rule over them in this way. It's a matter of time, God's people, of trials will happen. I mean, it's not a matter of time if trials will happen. It's a matter of when it will happen. And the wise understand this. The wise also know the best way to get ready for trials and hardships in this world is not to build bunkers in your basement or change all your money into gold. Well, right now it might be whatever other stock or what is that? Bitcoin or other, you know, digital money. The way to prepare to start learning, the way to prepare for the future when disaster strikes in our lives, hardships come, trials come, is to start learning the truth from Jesus and build it into your and my life. And that's the wisdom I see in Titus chapter 2. It's called training. Grace trains. The grace of God trains us, or the church, his children. I have two main points. The grace of God, there's a goal to his training. And God's grace, his training, is by and through his word. So there's a goal to God's training, God's grace, that trains There's an end why he does this, through his grace. And there's a way that God's grace trains God's people. But before we get there, let's look at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion. For the grace of God has appeared. Look at Micah chapter 4, verse 2. But as for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Looks like the grace that comes through the sun, it seems like a dawn, sun rising, giving light in the mist to dispel darkness. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 to 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. This is God's grace to bring salvation to all people. Is the sun rise? The sun is rising. Let light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The grace of God, God's grace, is for sinners. God's grace penetrates our spiritual darkness. Grace came to rescue man and woman, the mankind from sinners, from the greatest possible evil, the curse of God upon sin, and give the greatest possible blessing, which we'll see in verse 13, which is the goal of the grace of God training, is heaven. The glory of Christ is going to appear. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation, taking them from darkness into light, bondage from sin to freedom. And now look what he says. For the grace of God has appeared like the sun rising to dispel darkness, bringing salvation for all people. And then I love this word, 12, verse 12, training us. The grace of God is training, or grace trains. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about training. A lot of you guys do. It's strange about training and discipline. It's weird where a lot of us would accept it without any question. In many areas of our lives, training and discipline, sports. Any sports lovers here? I was a huge sports lover growing up. 3 times a week, we had training, practice. And the coach said, run, we ran. Different clubs, they have some sort of a training and discipline programs. I mean, good night, our children is going to Awana. Man, they train. I mean, through some, you know, clever way, I think. It's good. Through candy and some prizes. Well, man, my, at least my son Noah, you know, he wants to go and finish the book and get a badge. Memorize, you know, 3 verses or 4 verses, and he wants to do it. And yet, other areas of our lives that training and discipline is so crucial, and when it's needed, it seems to me it doesn't exist, especially spiritual training, spiritual discipline, especially the Word of God. I really think, in my mind, as an elder and a pastor of this church, this place called a church is a training center for God's people. This is where you learn things that you should know, that you ought to know, that you didn't know before. This is a place, a training place, a discipline place, that you will be corrected. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is breathed, is useful for what? Teaching, learning, correction. And also, this is a training center and discipline to be rebuked. Not my opinion. Who cares about my opinion? Rebuked by what God is telling us. Correction, learning, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that every man be thoroughly equipped. That's the goal. That's the training. It takes effort on your part, time on your part and my part, everyone's part. Grace of God trains and leads His children step by step. And where is He leading? Why the training? Why the change? He says in verse 13, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." And verse 13, "waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." And we'll get there. The goal of God's grace. But let's look at how God's grace that brings salvation to all people, He says, training us, what? To renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Another word I like, the word renounce, He says, the grace of God, God's grace, trains us to renounce or disown ungodliness or worldly passions. Other places in the Bible, the apostle talk about renouncing sin or ungodliness or worldly passions. It says, put it to death. Love that word. Kill it. Put it to death, therefore, the deeds of the body. And you know what Jesus says about sin? Your eyes is causing you to sin. Your hands causing you to sin. What does it say? Gouge it out. Cut it off. Deal with that sin immediately. It's going to kill you. God's grace trains us to renounce sin. I've been doing the accountability group. Some of you guys are in our men's and women's accountability group. This is not really mainly a Bible study group, though we do obviously, you know, quote the Bible and read the Bible and things like that. But mainly the accountability group is to take our sins of our lives and make it public to a small group and to share our struggles. Things that maybe you won't share when we leave this room right here, right after service, we'll go to the fellowship room, and you're not going to share some of your sins that you've done during the month or during the week. You're not going to do that. You know, that's not the social protocol. I'm not going to say, hey, Sam, how was your week? Here's my sin. Let me share it with you. I mean, I think that should be there, but it just doesn't happen. And unfortunately, we have to create a group that we could really talk about this important issue, the ungodliness that we try to hide from, especially other people, from also from God, and to help each other. Doing this for about 10 something plus years, and one time, one group, I am also learning stuff too. This one student, one Christian, he thought sin was like a puddle. It's like a thing, like out there, you know? And what do you do with a dirty puddle? You walk and you try to avoid it, right? Because sin is a thing. If you step on it, then you get dirty and your shoe get wet. That's no fun. Sin is no fun. It's inconvenient. And Bible never portrays the sin as a thing, like a puddle out there. Sin is alive, is a passion, is a desire. The things that you think with your mind, the things that you want, things that you feel, things that you think. I never ever say, oh, what I think is the right way. I never do that. I know I'm a sinner. And when I say, oh, I feel, I often, when I counsel or talk to others, especially in the church, they say, oh, Pastor, I feel this way about a certain thing. I feel this way about a certain person, as though the feeling is the truth. It's not. Often our feelings go up and down. We have it, sometimes we don't. It's hard to trust our feelings. It's sometimes not even to trust our thoughts. No, we have to be shaped by the feelings and thoughts in here. And shape our thinking and our feelings through this. This is the truth. Not my thinking. Not my feeling alone. We need to teach our kids that. If I feel and think this way, it feels good, it must be the right way. Baloney. And often hear that too much. No, sin is like a weed, not the drug, okay? It's like the pesky weed in our garden or in your lawn. We just left for just 2 weeks. There weren't any weeds. Amazing. I mean, little ones, though, you know? And then we came home, it's like, the weed is like 3 feet tall. Roots. Sin is alive. Sin works. Sin gains power. The more you feed it, the more you sin, it gains power over your desires, over your thoughts. Is an alive, active thing in our life. And God's saying, God's grace trains us to put to death or renounce, disown all those things. It trains us, God's people, God's children. Not me before I was a Christian. No, I wanted to do those things. I didn't think that was bad, but now, God's people, you know the ungodliness, the worldly passions, those, you know to renounce, stop doing anything that displeases God, the things that you know that displease God, you need to renounce them all, even a hint, but a smidgen of sin. Like a blossom in your life. You need to flee. You need to renounce all ungodliness and worldly passions. And why are we training in this way? It's because God's grace in training is training us for the appearing of the second coming of his Son, his glory. And I want to end with that. That's the goal of God's grace and why he trains us. He only trains his children, those who he loves, those who he bought and redeemed with the precious blood of his one and only Son. Are you that person this morning? Well, God's grace, whether you know that or not, he came to you, appeared to you, bringing salvation, starting the process of salvation in your life. When you confess and got baptized, whenever that might be, is to train us to renounce all filthiness and godlessness and darkness, so that, it says verse 13, godly lives in the present age, in this time right now, our lives right now, it says waiting for our blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? Look what he says, what blessed hope is. I do have two more verses about his first appearing in Matthew the Gospels, and the second appearing. I'm going to forego that passage. I'm going to give you what the blessed hope for Christians is, why God is training us through his grace, why grace is appear like a dawn rising. Hebrews chapter 6. Frank, Hebrews chapter 6, 18 to 20. Amazing. This is the goal. This is why he does all the training. That's why his grace appeared. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope, there's a blessed hope, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the inner place behind the curtain is an imagery, an Old Testament imagery for Gentiles. If you don't know about the Old Testament, is the temple. Remember the temple? There's a bunch of courts. The two main court is the court of the priest. And in the court of the priest, where only priests are allowed, there is a curtain that separates the court of the priest and the Holy of Holies. That's the inner court. That's where the presence of God is. And that temple is in heaven now. That's a real one. The earthly temple is a shadow of the real one in heaven. And our hope is not here. To stay here and live forever. I don't want to live here forever. Our hope, our blessed hope, is where Christ has assumed his kingship, which is in heaven, the temple, the very presence of God. The inner place, another word for that is heaven, presence of God. That's why God's grace appeared first time. And the second time, he will appear, and he's going to take his children to the temple in heaven, into an inner court, to experience God, not through the medium of the temple of the priest, or services like this, no, direct access to the very presence of God through Christ. That's your and my hope. That's why the training is happening in the church, to get you ready. To clean you up. Renounce all godliness, all unrighteousness, all worldly passions, all of it. That's a church's job.
so that his body, his temple, and we're part of his body, stone by stone, is being not only saved, but renewed and changed to assume our life, our future hope, our blessed hope, to the very presence of the glory of God. That is your hope. That is why training happens. Grace trains only his children. You should know that. All right. You know, we've talked about this before, right? I'm going to end with this. We talked about this before. That the mission of the church, of God's people, the goal is there. It's not here. It's a new kingdom, new creation that God has created through his Son, through his Son, through his life and death and resurrection. And now he is awaiting for his children to come. He will gather his children one day as his children are getting trained and getting ready, renouncing, killing all sin, being more and more holy and beautiful like his Son. That is your job, my job, until we die. That is our blessed hope. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, O Lord, there is no other institution place that would tell us this, that this life is 2 seconds, a vapor in the wind, and then eternity, in hell or in heaven. Oh Lord, I pray that you will make us wise in this room. Wise people who gets ready, not just for their retirement in this world with their 401k, or gets ready for their children, their education, and their future lives in this world. Oh Lord, Lord, make us wise, this church, that they themselves would get ready for the training, a grace of God that trains your people, so we'll be ready, beautiful, perfect, like your Son Jesus, to assume our 99.999% of our lives waiting for us in the future with you and your Son, Father, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a life. That's life. Oh Lord, I pray that you would help us. Oh Lord, that you would train our children with that blessed hope. That you would train this church with that kind of a grace that appeared